Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball 9 to 11 like we do every Saturday morning. Today, wondering how successful this Cubs season really was and allowing the White Sox to re-enter the chat. Remember them? Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Yeah, it's a Chicago baseball show. For a long time, it was... People were saying, hey, love your show, but...
It was Inside the Cubhouse.
Yeah, Inside the Cubhouse. And now we're back to Inside the Clubhouse, both sides of Chicago. And, you know, let's talk a couple of seconds about the fact that, look, you have to go with the team that's still playing.
Yes.
That's in the playoffs. And as much as we are down the middle here, Cubs and White Sox, you know, you have to play the hits, you know.
You do. You have to play the hits, and the Cubs were in the process of doing something that, let's be honest, a week ago at this time, we came in here, you were in Milwaukee, I was here, and we talked about, I opened that show full of possibility. The door was still open to a World Series or a pennant for the Cubs, and that ended Saturday in Milwaukee. We have processed what that means, continued to look back at that. Jed Hoyer spoke for 51 minutes, putting it all in perspective. But for 2 weeks, the Cubs were the center of Chicago's baseball world. And that is understandable, especially when you're talking about being here on the Cubs flagship station.
But we are the only Chicago and pretty much Midwest baseball show that goes... 49 to 52 weeks out of every year, and we're here for you every weekend. So, baseball fans, this is your home.
This is your home. 312-644-6767. This is your show. Today, we're going to do a couple different things. First of all, at 9:30, we're going to pay off the tees and talk White Sox with the director of minor leagues, Paul Janisch. He's going to be kind enough to join us because a lot of their success, relative success, or let me rephrase that. The progress we saw on the South Side was rooted in the successful seasons of some young prospects. We'll talk about that. Bruce, we'll look at the Cubs, who's staying, who's going, what Jed Hoyer talked about during his 51-minute address. And also, we have to appreciate and bring attention to what happened last night in Los Angeles. Shohei Ohtani, in clinching, as the Dodgers clinched the pennant, provided... one of the probably most dominant individual performances baseball has ever seen. And I wonder out there in the audience, 312-644-6767, have you ever seen anything better than what Ohtani did to the Brewers in eliminating them and moving on to the World Series? Six scoreless innings, three home runs, and they weren't just ordinary home runs, Bruce. They were something special.
So let's break it down to postseason, okay? Because you can let this bleed, David, into dominant performances ever in any game, right? Let alone postseason. You know, you go back, yeah. You go back to baseball, you know, baseball history, Don Larsen's perfect game, you know, 69 years ago. You have Halliday's no-hitter in the playoffs. You have Reggie Jackson's three home runs against the Dodgers in the World Series in 78. You have tremendous individual performances, but nothing close to a pitcher throwing six shutout innings and hitting three gargantuan home runs.
Given the stakes as well. This was on baseball's biggest stage. This was a game in which the Dodgers clinched the pennant. The Dodgers clinched the pennant. So you hear that and you think of what else measures up. You mentioned a couple examples. In baseball history, I don't know, because he led off the bottom of the first with a home run. And he was the guy on the mound. He turned game four, he turned a pennant-clinching victory into his personal Little League World Series.
And the fact is that he was having a very poor postseason.
Yeah,
and, right. And all of a sudden, Superman shows up.
Yeah, that was remarkable to see. And I know this isn't going to be 2 hours of Dodgers talk, but you have to appreciate greatness when you see it. And that's what we saw. And the Dodgers move on. The Mariners are getting closer. They have a victory in Game 5, so they're on the verge of moving on with their manager, a local guy from Barrington, Dan Wilson, a friend of the program. We've interviewed him. What is your interest in that series? Also, the Cubs and White Sox MVPs. Who were they for you, Cubs fans, Sox fans? Who was the most valuable player on your respective teams? We'll weigh in on that throughout the show, because with the Cubs, you could have several different answers. With the White Sox, maybe a little bit more clear-cut, but maybe not. We'll depend and listen and look forward to your contribution.
The early frontrunners for MVPs for the Cubs and White Sox, 2,300,000 Cub fans showed up, 1.4 million White Sox fans showed up.
Those numbers surprise you?
No.
No, I think that's about right, yeah.
Actually, the 1.4 was about 100,000 to 150,000 more than the White Sox projected going into the season. The Cubs were hopeful for 3 million, and they probably would have made it. But remember, they had two home games that were taken off the schedule because they played them in Japan.
That's right. So that
was 80,000.
Would have put them over the $3 million or 3 million fans.
80,000 people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could that have put them over the top?
Probably not.
Okay. Still very close. So, Bruce, let's start with what we heard from Jed Hoyer earlier this week and just what to expect as we enter into the Cubs postseason. 92 victories, a playoff series victory over the Padres. We know what they accomplished. We can debate on what it means. If you, though, were to assess the priority list that Jed Hoyer walked into the press conference the other day, if he were establishing the priorities for this offseason, where does it start for the Cubs?
Starts where it was last year in the offseason. And piece of business I feel they never completed, and that is a power arm for their rotation. A big-time power arm for the rotation. Now, you can go out and spend that $30 million times five or six, and you get a burn situation where he got that and he gets hurt, right? Nothing. They get nothing out of it. You know, he's shut down for a year, Tommy John. You know, so there's no guarantees when that happened. The only power arm they had in their rotation turned out to be a homegrown product. Kudos to them, Cade Horton.
Cade Horton. That would be somebody, while we're taking submissions for most valuable players, I'll start there. If I'm saying and naming the most valuable player to me on the Cubs this season, it was Cade Horton because of, number one, you didn't expect his contributions. Secondly, you could count on him every fifth day. the consistency was what he had to offer that you didn't always get from everybody in the lineup from a positional standpoint. And I do think that he gave you the confidence that he was going to be the stopper. So it may be his contributions were cut short because of the injury and he didn't start the season with the big league team, but I don't know if there was anybody more valuable than Cade Horton to the Cubs this year.
It's hard to imagine, and it's also one of those feel-goods for the organization where they had not produced a power arm in their rotation for probably two decades. I mean, you go back to the Zambrano, Pryor, Wood era, right?
That's got to be it. Yeah, that's got
I mean, the guys they brought in from trades or for free agents during their run from 15 through 20, that was totally different animal because they were all brought in except for Hendricks, who was developed after they traded for him from Texas. They all came in as soldiers of fortune from mm-hmm. elsewhere.
So you look at Cade Horton being the power arm you described, or one of them. They don't have a lot of other guys who fit that profile. You look at the Dodgers and you think that, boy, they're introducing these guys, you know, into the postseason. Their four guys, the four pitchers that won starts in the NLCS were Otani, Yamamoto, Blake Snell, and Tyler Glasnow. Now, what's
add up their payroll? Add up their salaries.
Well, first of all, the salaries are not anything you can compare to any other team in baseball.
Right.
Obviously,
just those pitchers.
But also, these aren't guys who had a lot of pitching and starting experience during the season.
No,
they sign and stash these guys and let them recover from injuries. Snell and Glasnow were not contributors really most of the year. Otani didn't pitch, and I think there was somebody in this room who suggested he shouldn't pitch all season long. Was it me? And then you look at Yamamoto is the only guy among those four that was a regular take your turn in the rotation pitcher.
So I guess the thought then from all of that, David, is if you're the other 29 teams and the other 14 teams in the National League, are you just fighting for what Milwaukee ended up with, and that is a chance to lose to the Dodgers in the NLCS? Is that what you're looking at? Because the Dodgers, you know, they haven't won the World Series yet, but they're in their second one in a row. It's the first time that's happened since the 2008-2009 Phillies. The last time a team won two World Series in a row was 1999 and 2000 with the Yankees. So with that in mind, in National League, it was the 75-76 Cincinnati Reds. So it's a rarity, but, you know, the Dodgers have gone to the postseason, I think, 13 or 14 times in a row now. So getting there is not even a big deal.
It's blasé.
Yeah.
They celebrated.
I don't think they sold out the first wild card game.
I don't think so. I can remember watching one of those games and seeing a foul ball going to right field and wondering where all the people were because the stands were empty. And this is the L.A. way, I suppose. But they even, in celebration last night, that was fairly muted. It wasn't like they were celebrating a pennant and going crazy. It was as if they had just clinched
the
NL West.
9-1 in postseason, right?
Yeah, they're dominant right now, yeah. And it's going to bother a lot of people. And Dave Roberts is going to get questions about whether or not it's good for baseball.
Getting back to the Cubs.
Okay, back to the Cubs.
They can be as good a team as anyone else in baseball. I don't know this version of the Dodgers if you're going to get there.
Okay, you take a lot of heat sometimes for expressing what you think about this answer to this next question. With the Cubs, though, is it a reluctance to spend, or is it not being right on some of the hunches you make from a baseball perspective? Because is it not getting the right players and being willing to spend to get those guys, or is it an unwillingness to pad your bench or your rotation with guys who might cost a lot and not being willing to match what Alex Bregman might want or match what or spend the money that you saved in trading Cody Bellinger? These are fair criticisms or at least questions.
So we'll take you back to 2020 when Jed Hoyer was hired to replace Theo Epstein. And the conversation with Hoyer and Tom Ricketts was, Tom Ricketts' side was, look, we know we can spend to try to win, but we need to develop our own farm system. That's the one thing that was missing when they put together the championship run was that, you know, they developed some outstanding young players and they were part of them winning, but they didn't develop a farm system, in particular any pitching that could help them whatsoever. So Tom said to Hoyer, before I hire you or anyone else, you have to understand the first thing that you have to do is develop a farm system. We need to have young players coming through. We're not spending $250, $300, $350 million throwing good money after bad year in and year out. And that's why Mr. Epstein has left and you're taking over. Yes or no? And to his credit and to Carter Hawkins' credit, they've done a pretty good job of developing in the minor leagues.
No, that's hard to argue. And I think when you look at the quality of the prospects and how they have developed some players, continue to develop those players at the major league level, Pete Crow Armstrong, Cade Horton, Matt Shaw.
Cam Smith
to the point where he was good enough to trade him. He had him for 5 minutes, though. I don't know if they give the Cubs much credit for that. They got Tucker. And that's where we start to diverge because, yes, you want to give the Cubs credit for developing players, but now that we can have the benefit of time and looking back at the 92-win season, you began that season in go-for-it mode, and it was represented by the fact that you were traded Cam Smith, Isaac Paredes, and Hayden Wesneski before the injury, a promising pitching prospect. Three guys for one to go for it now. And that aggressive mentality was not reflected or consistent at the trade deadline because you didn't get the hitter that you lacked or maybe the pitcher that you needed.
But it did work.
It did work to a point, though. I think everything you did successfully get
so
into the postseason.
That gets back to your original question to me, which was, with the Dodgers situation, will the Cubs ever be in a position to go as far and to spend as much? And the answer to that part is no, but they can develop and continue to develop a good organization and supplement it by trades and free agency the way that Hoyer, Carter, Hawkins have.
Do you think they need to retain Kyle Tucker to make that trade worth it, that worth the risk? And then the second part of that is, what do you think, after hearing from Jed Hoyer, their chances are of getting into those conversations?
I will answer that question by saying I don't think you can count on Casey and Alcantara to be the replacement for Kyle Tucker, okay? So if Tucker's not coming back to the Cubs, you need another guy that can hit 30 home runs and drive in 100. And he might be a player that you've already had.
Kyle Schwarber is unlikely to be coming back to Chicago, as I read your hint. I don't believe that it's realistic, even though I am with you in trying to discuss that as often as possible and possibly speak it into existence. That would be great.
I wasn't even talking about him.
Well, who are you talking about?
Bellinger.
Oh, Cody instead of Kyle. All right. Well, Cody Bellinger is another one that I think we'll talk about later in the program. I would take Cody Bellinger back in a moment. You referenced him earlier this week on the Mullen and Haw show as being a guy that didn't necessarily want to leave Chicago, but was traded, and he did not leave as a free agent. Their production numbers last year are very similar, Cody Bellinger's and Kyle Tucker's.
The one caveat is that Tucker, if he was disappointing in any area, it was, to me, his outfield play.
He seemed to struggle at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
And I think to the point where he struggled enough where there was open speculation about whether or not he was protecting himself from injury because he wanted to save himself for free agency.
But he was injured numerous times, and one of them in particular running into that right field wall. Okay.
Right.
So he played hard. He played hurt. The questions weren't, do you play hard or hurt? The questions were, are you playing hard or hurt because that's your nature or because you're going to be a free agent?
Jed Hoyer obviously was asked about Kyle Tucker earlier this week at his season-ending press conference. This is part of what he had to say during his 51-minute news session.
When we were at our best, Kyle was at his best, and vice versa. You know, there's no question he had a huge impact on this team. Obviously, he had dealt with some injuries and struggled a bit in the second half. But I think when you take the totality of the season, he had a huge impact as we hoped he would. Obviously now we're sort of into free agency, and we'll be talking to Casey and we'll be having those conversations. And so, like I said a bunch of times during the season, like, everyone can use a guy like Kyle Tucker. Everyone gets better by having a player like that. And we'll certainly be having those conversations.
Bruce, did you count how many times Jed said totality?
I did.
Okay. If I were doing shots every time it happened, we'd be drunk by lunch.
What stuck out to me was everyone can benefit by having a guy like Kyle Tucker.
See, now that I picked up on that as well. So that is the thing. And I wonder, it isn't so much, or you tell me what you think, it isn't so much whether or not the Cubs want Kyle Tucker, but even if they can afford Kyle Tucker or are willing to pay for Kyle Tucker, I have to wonder, fan, media member, whatever, how much does Kyle Tucker want the Cubs?
Well, I think he enjoyed his experience with the team, and he felt the organization from Tom Ricketts to Crane Kenny to Hoyer and company down treated him and his wife like a king, okay? I don't think he liked playing in the ballpark.
I wouldn't if I were him, struggling right field, afraid of that wall, and all of a sudden you look at his OPS – better on the road. You look at his home run totals.
Is that blasphemous, though, to say you don't want to play at Wrigley Field?
You don't want to say it out loud?
We just did.
Well, I'm not saying that. I would love to play at Wrigley Field every day.
I did yesterday. We had a game with the marquee people, the end of the year softball game.
Did you really?
Yeah, we had a great time.
Well, that would be fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Cole Wright's probably a very good softball player.
Didn't show. No show.
Really? Wow. Okay. What do you say? You going to find him?
He was, I think...
He's a busy guy.
He was inactive.
That sounds like fun. But back to Tucker. 22 home runs this year, only one more than Colson Montgomery. 15 of them on the road, 7 at Wrigley. I wouldn't want to play there as much either. And it wasn't just because the wind was blowing in. He just, for whatever reason, it wasn't a good fit. It doesn't feel like it was a good fit.
So are we missing the fact that he was hurt for a good portion of the last year?
That's fair. That's fair.
Was there another 8 to 10 home runs there?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But everything
is not at Wrigley.
No, but
not at Wrigley, though.
The thing is, the 22 home runs, I'm not judging him on that because he was playing with a broken hand. And then he missed a month with a calf injury. I get that. But everything's relative, and relative to his 22 home runs, 15 of them are on the road.
Well, we'll roll back to him as well as Bellinger a little later in the show.
All right, let's squeeze in a quick phone call before we break. 312-644-6767. Mike is in Glencoe. Mike, welcome inside the clubhouse.
Good morning, fellas. And I'd like to follow up, Bruce, on a question that you raised with the guys earlier this week about Hoyer being interested in signing the young core of the Cubs to long-term contracts, the Armstrongs, the Hortons, and whatnot. And my question is, without judging too harshly Rick Hahn, that didn't work out too well for my team. What do the Cubs think? Why would they be successful in signing the young core to long-term deals when the Sox weren't? Is it just on an individual or individual basis, or is there greater risk in doing this than they might think?
Mike, that's an excellent question. Bruce, the comparison is inevitable when Jed Hoyer was talking about that. You thought to Eloy Jimenez, Tim Anderson, Luis Robert Jr., all long-term
Moncada
extensions that didn't turn out to be worth those investments. Do you think the Cubs would be wise to lock up guys like PCA, Matt Shaw?
It's a gamble.
Cade Horton?
It's a gamble, okay? Because you're not talking about locking them up. Like, for instance, as we talked about on Mullion Haw show.
This was information that I didn't know.
$90 million was offered to PCA, and he turned it down. That was before he had the bad second half, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, again, those things can happen. I mean, the linear part of your player development and belief in a player is only as good as, the possibility that the guy will just turn out to be average. With the White Sox, each and every one of those players got hurt.
They did.
Each and every one had lower,
that's the risk.
Had lower body issues. Each and every one never came back to being the player that they were. They were already big-time contributing players, right? Even Moncada had the sensational 2019 season where he was number five in MVP voting. But collectively, they all got injured, and none of them came back to being the form. We're still waiting, as is the rest of Major League Baseball, for Luis Robert Jr. to come back and start hitting again.
And you always wonder what the looming work stoppage, what effect that will have, not only on free agency, but on the inability or the ability of teams who want to extend these contracts beyond 2026. Good call, Mike. Something we're going to continue to talk about. We've got a big show ahead. We've got some great texts coming in too, Bruce, about the Cubs MVP. 262. It's not Horton's fault he got hurt, but you can't be an MVP if you're injured when your team needs you the most. That's Corey in Whitewater.
You sure that wasn't about Imanaga?
847. Sounds like the Cubs want to be more like the Tampa Bay franchise than the Dodgers franchise.
Wow.
That's just beat Milwaukee. Whatever you do, you want to imitate the Dodgers or the Rays, just beat the Brewers.
We get, you know, we are fortunate to have the great listeners and texters.
It's a great audience. It's a good built-in audience.
Of course, you can't read all the text.
No, I cannot. Would not want to do that. The FCC would disapprove. All right, when we come back, Paul Janisch, the director of the White Sox minor league organization, will join us. They had a very productive year in developing players. We'll talk about which ones he is most excited about. It's David and Bruce until 11 inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Cole
Wilson Montgomery deep to right field.
Wow.
And out!
Yes!
And the Sox retake the lead in the ninth. This has been a wild game in the nation's capital, but it's Colson Montgomery to the rescue in the ninth.
I mean, this is a dude right here, man. When you pencil him into the lineup, you know you got a guy that's going to take a swing that means something every night.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine here until 11 o'clock. Thank you, CHSN, for that highlight of a Colson Montgomery home run, one of 21 he had this year. And yes, the White Sox, remember them? We're going to talk about them because they had a very good season when you look at their player development and the young guys who came through for them. And somebody who knows all about that is our next guest, who joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. The director of player development for the White Sox is Paul Janisch. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are y'all today?
We're doing well. Thank you for joining us. Let's just start generally speaking, because the White Sox had a lot of things. Obviously, the record is what it is, but internally, I would think there's some excitement and enthusiasm created by the development of prospects like Colson Montgomery. Overall, how would you assess where you are in terms of feeling good about your player development in 2025?
Yeah, I think you pointed to it. You know, you talked about Colson specifically, but there's a few of those other young guys, you know, Kyle Teal, Edgar Caro, Chase Mydruff, you know, Brooks Baldwin contributed, you know, just talking about position players specifically. But, yeah, it's exciting to get those guys to the major league level. You know, I say this a lot. It's a tough transition to make for young players, you know, in this current landscape. You know, they go through the minor leagues kind of as quickly as they ever have, and you know, you get them to the big leagues, and there's a lot to take in, and so it's a lot of credit goes to Will Venable and his staff for, you know, kind of ushering those guys in, but also I think a lot of credit goes to those players, right, because they're getting to that level for the first time, and to their credit, they've played together at the minor league level, and you know, we've had the Double A teams won the championship the last couple of years, and you know, one of the things we're really embracing at the minor league level is you know, trying to play winning baseball, you know, do winning things. And those guys are transitioning into it. And one of the things that sticks out to me is, you know, late in games throughout the year, and, you know, the Minnesota series in Minnesota really sticks out. But, you know, the ability to come back late in games and, you know, get down early in a game and fight back, I think says a lot about the character of what hopefully is turning into a young core of position players.
Paul, there were so many good things that happened where, you know, the team ended up 19 games better than the following year. But the surprise I had was the pitching not being more with your arrow pointing forward. And by that, I mean, I understand that pitching and an all player development isn't always linear, and certainly wasn't with the White Sox this year. But what are you guys going to do about having more readiness for some of your young pitchers? I know some of them were in the major leagues maybe before they were ready and they were going to learn at the major league level. That's an awful tough thing to do. What's the next plan for Chicago White Sox pitching with you and your young pitchers?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Bruce. And, you know, to the point of the guys that are at the major league level, you kind of alluded to the fact that, you know, in a lot of cases, some of them might not have been there just quite yet. And you know, they kind of learn trial by fire a little bit. And, you know, I think that's going to benefit them moving forward, right? Even though it may have been tough in practice this past year at times, I think that's going to benefit us moving forward. And, you know, referencing the guys that are in the minor leagues, you know, Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith, you know, some of those higher end guys, you know, there's Shane Murphy was pitcher of the year in the Southern League and a little bit different, you know, type of prospect. But, you know, I think the thing that we continue to embrace on our side is just trying to do as good a job as we can as helping the guys understand who they are. And when I say that, you know, kind of referencing, look, this is what, you know, having success at the minor league level is one thing, but trying to really focus on, you know, whether it's doing a better job with certain matchups and understanding, you know, what they're going to be subject to at the major league level, which we all know, you know, from a game planning standpoint, information standpoint, it's just a different animal than, you know, for sure Double A or Triple A. And so, I think that's what I would point to, right? Just continuing to help guys understand, you know, the arsenals, et cetera, that are going to benefit them in a way that they're going to get attacked in all likelihood at the major league level.
We're talking with White Sox Director of Player Development, Paul Yanish, here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Okay, Paul, we saw the best of Grant Taylor, and we saw at times the shaky moments from Grant Taylor. That's part of the player development. How would you assess his growth this season? And everybody wants to know, does he project in your mind, in the White Sox's mind, as a lockdown closer, or is he going to be a guy who gets the ball every fifth day?
Yeah, it's you know, he's a really good problem to have, is the way I describe Grant, right? You know, he took what we did this year and, you know, in the middle of the year, you know, decided, hey, we're going to move him to the bullpen in an effort to, you know, get him to the major league level. And look, if you look at it, take a step back, you know, I think we can agree that the major league bullpen was better after Grant got there. And you alluded to the fact that he, you know, he had a couple of bumps in the road, which, you know, pitching in Dodger Stadium for the first time, he kind of got off the rails a little bit. You know, I give Grant a ton of credit because, you know, having the benefit of being around him and a competitor and, you know, kind of who the kid is as a person. I point to the fact that with him, because he is one of those guys that really wants to be in the fire, man. He's a competitor. And so I just think he's going to not just make himself better moving forward. I really think he's a contagious type player that, you know, other guys are going to look to. And even if he's not the most vocal guy in the world, I do think he's going to lead by example. And to answer your question about the starter versus the reliever, I just think that, you know, the versatility that he has just because of how talented he is just beneficial for us right now. And, you know, I think Grant would tell you he would love the challenge of starting at some point in his career, and whether that's this coming year or a little farther down the road, we're not quite sure yet, but I do know that he's a big piece of success moving forward and, you know, doing the best, you know, that whatever correlates, you know, the best for him, maintaining health in the team, obviously winning more games, I think is what our team is going to assess over the course of time.
Paul, your job is uniquely different with the White Sox than a lot of directors of minor leagues is, because there are so many players in player development at the major league level that you have to be consulted all the time about the players coming up, about the players coming down, about the players that are ready to come up and try it there. So how unique is your job that you deal so closely with the coaching staff, the manager, the front office, almost on a daily basis to decide which pitcher should stay, which should come back? It's got to be different than many places. I mean, you're almost an extended version of the coaching staff on a daily basis. How unique do you think this is?
Yeah, I joke about it, Bruce. I tell people that I lead the league in correspondence. Describe it. I really just embrace the fact that it is, you know, you're on call. A lot of it, and what I try to embrace is not necessarily having all the right answers by any means. It's just being available, you know, have a consistent message, you know, be as positive as we can be, you know, because I think that's contagious to our players. And, you know, the game's hard, and, you know, the minor leagues is a gauntlet, man, as much as it's ever been. And so we try to share the truth with the players. I do the same with our staff. And, you know, when you start talking about player movement, you know, there's obviously more variables if you're talking about guys going to the big leagues. But for sure within the system, I can tell you that, you know, we try to be very intentional with, you know, promoting and embracing, you know, what we value. And some of that is, you know, just pure production on the field, right? Being really good on the mound or, you know, playing good defense at a premium position and, you know, having productive at bats. But another element of that for sure for me and in our system is, you know, the way that they play the game and really embracing, you know, what we talk about, right? Cause I think whether it's directly or indirectly, players see what happens. And, you know, if you have them asking why that's happening and it doesn't add up to what we're saying out loud, I think that, you know, you gotta be real careful, you know, saying one thing and doing another. So we just try to be intentional with that stuff. And when it comes to the staff, man, I do a really good job of, of empowering those guys to the best of my ability and just trusting them, because we talk so much about who we are and what we want to be, and you just trust them to carry out that message.
A couple more moments with White Sox Director of Player Development Paul Yanish here on Inside the Clubhouse. So, Paul, every White Sox fan who follows the minor leagues, and I think that goes for every White Sox fan because of the nature of the rebuild, get excited about two guys, I think. Braden Montgomery, number one. He's the guy that a lot of Sox fans wonder, could he be on the opening day roster? What's ahead for him in 2026? And then somebody who I think we're getting used to hearing about and might for years to come, Caleb Bonomer. And I don't know if I'm saying the last name correctly. I believe that I am. But he was a Carolina League MVP as a teenager. Shortstop, third baseman, infielder with some pop in his bat. Where are those two guys in terms of their development? And what are your expectations for 2026?
Yeah, so I'll start with Braden. You know, obviously a first-round pick out of college, and was a significant piece of the Garrett Crochet trade. And, you know, due to an unfortunate injury, didn't play his first year that he got drafted last summer, and played a full year this year. And man, just, you know, we started him out, you know, in Kannapolis, and he progressed, you know, through Double A and played most of the second half in Double A. And just, you know, the thing that sticks out about this guy is, you know, you see him walking down the hall, and he is what it looks like, right? Like it's a big, strong, fast kid. But man, I point to the you know, the way that he plays the game, and in addition to that, the way that he works, man. Like he's addicted to the game in a really, really good way, and he works his butt off. And he the way I describe Braden is he doesn't want to be good; he wants to be great. And I think that is like a really subtle but significant difference. And you know, where he starts 2026, we'll see. I know that he's out here in the Arizona Fall League, and you know, had an unfortunate hit by pitch and a slight fracture of a small bone in his foot. That's pretty much right. And we're optimistic he's actually going to get in some games this coming week out here in the fall league. So he's progressing just as you hope. And you know, the exciting thing about Braden is the talent is not going to be the issue, man. He is a super talented guy. He switch hitter, can hit the ball out from both sides, you know, can play all three outfield positions. It's exciting. And again, I can point to the makeup of, you know, who you want to be, you know, one of your better players, hopefully at some point, because it's he's what that is. And you know, pointing to Caleb, you know, to do what he did this year, you know, in the first full season of Pro Bowl out of a high school draft pick is not, you know, not an easy thing to do. I just, you know, give him a lot of credit. Physically, he's a little farther down the road than a lot of high school draft picks are, for sure. But you know, the best way I describe him is that he just doesn't flinch, man. Like when you know, whether you're talking about a specific at bat, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, talking to him about, you know, something, some adjustment he needs to make on defense, he doesn't flinch. He just wants to be good. He's tough. You know, he's the kind of player that he doesn't get out of the way of a pitch if it's going to hit him. You know what I mean? It's, there's just some grit and some toughness to him, and that we appreciate. And yeah, it's an interesting profile too, right? He played shortstop. There's no question in my mind he's going to be a major league infielder, you know, and I think we'll try to help him with the versatility. He's going to continue to play short for the time being, for sure, and third as well, just so that he's as ready as he can be to do different things. Because I do think that, you know, he's not there yet, obviously, but I do think he's the type of guy that he could go out and have another really, really good year, and then all of a sudden you're talking about having a guy that's on the cusp of, you know, maybe being able to contribute at the major league level at a really young age, which is really exciting.
My last question to you, Paul, and David and I really appreciate the time this morning on Inside the Clubhouse. When you look at developing pitchers, and you alluded to it a little bit in one of your answers before, are the White Sox going to fall into the same trap that everybody else is trapped in right now? And that is, we have to continue to develop guys that throw 100. We have to continue to get them there in 2 to 3 years. And we have to keep looking past them because we know they're going to blow out. In other words, how much can you take a stand on developing pitchers who don't throw in the mid to upper 90s? Can it cost you and other people their job if you take a stand that way?
Yeah, you know, it's a funny question. You know, you reference the industry, and you know, the way I would answer it is to say, look, I wish we had a, you know, 12 or 13 Grant Taylors, right? They run the ball up to 102. But the reality is, as much as we talk about, you know, velocity in the industry, which is very true, but there's just not that many guys that can do those kinds of things, right? And so what I would tell you is, you know, what we're trying to really focus on is, you know, utilizing a guy's skill set. And there's a bunch of variables that go into that, but trying to help a guy, you know, operate the way his body wants to operate, you know, don't necessarily chase something that his body doesn't do naturally. Cause to your point, you're susceptible to injury in that case. And honestly, Bruce, I think a lot of it goes in on the, you know, on the player acquisition piece, whether that's a waiver claim or, you know, a trade or a draft pick or, you know, whatever the case is. I think that, you know, you do the best you can to find guys that have unique qualities, you know, whatever that means, and try to embrace them. And then over the course of time, you know, you foster what that unique quality is. And hopefully at the end of the road, you end up with, you know, it looks and variables that can be very difficult for a losing team. And
we're losing.
Everybody needs to be able to do the same.
I think we're losing.
You guys got me?
Yeah, I think we had a tough connection there, Paul, but we do want to appreciate, thank you for your time and appreciate your insight this morning. So good luck in the Arizona Fall League. We'll look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the connection, but thanks for having me.
Yep, great. Paul Janish, the White Sox Director of Player Development, a couple really interesting things there, Bruce.
Straightforward guy. The one thing about the group with the Chicago White Sox, You ask a straight question, you get a straight answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we're lucky to have that with the Cubs too, but that's not always the case in sports. Okay. Look around in some of the other areas in Chicago sports and other teams across, you know, the.
Take a shot at Bruce.
I'm just saying. I feel so lucky to have Chicago sports front offices and coaches that are not afraid to tell you the truth.
Okay? Yes, and for those who aren't, I would like to thank them also because they help drive the sports radio industry.
They give you an extra hour
absolutely
of stuff in the
thank
morning.
Thank you, all the Ryan Paces out there. Hallelujah. All right, who's your Cubs MVP? Who's your White Sox MVP? Let us know. 312-644-6767. A lot more to come inside the clubhouse till 11 in Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, getting a lot of good submissions for Cubs and White Sox MVPs. 224, Michael Busch for the Cubs. I could see that. He had a really good year. As Jed Hoyer said the other day, reminding everybody, 38 home runs, not 34, 38 through the playoffs.
Do you think because he's not PCA, that's why he doesn't get his props?
You know my theory? Part of the reason why? Craig Counsell's telling fans not to be too excited about Michael Busch every time he doesn't start him against a lefty. He's labeling him a platoon player. When does anybody get excited about a platoon player? In my mind, Michael Busch is not a platoon player. He's probably the third or fourth first baseman in the National
League.
David,
to his credit, it certainly hasn't impacted his success. And if you sit down with Counsell and the other coaches, they say, yeah, that's because we sit him against really tough lefties.
Really? I suppose. But I would think the opposite. I would think that
look at his numbers against lefties.
I know.
So it's that double-edged sword.
It is.
One, well, we don't play you because you hit 140. The other is, I'm always going to hit 140 if I don't get to see more left-handers.
I love Michael Busch because he doesn't make an issue out of it. He's one of these guys, you know, he played all over the infield in the Dodgers system, and he's versatile enough to play third base, maybe even second. I know you're shaking your head because he wouldn't be a plus defender, but I'm just saying in terms of him embracing that possibility or opportunity, he'd make the most of it and still hit 35 homers.
The scientist that Craig Counsell is will always indoctrinate what Jed Hoyer talked about, and that is run prevention.
Run prevention
is more important in some ways than run production.
Speaking of, 847, Nico is available with a good approach, situationally wise, fundamental hitter, base running defense, a leader, consummate pro. Absolutely, Nico Horner could be your Cub MVP as well.
Right, but how many teams want more than one Nico Horner on their team?
Well, you asked the question the other day, the Cubs want nine Nico Horners like the Brewers have.
Yeah, that
is a little pushback on that question.
Well, I think they had about a collective 13 hits against the Dodgers in four games.
But that was a good question. Jed Hoyer bristled.
The Brewers ran out of gas, but you could see it happening even during the Cubs series where they weren't scoring a lot of runs.
312, right. White Sox MVP is an oxymoron, but for purposes of this discussion, the notion that it's somebody other than Colson Montgomery is preposterous.
Okay.
That brings us out to our phone lines, 312-644-6767. Sounds like our guy Ron agrees. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. We want to thank you all for that interview. And, Bruce, you know, you asked the question, you know, that the fans would ask, because we had heard about the development of the young White Sox pitching, and it was a little disappointing, but just wanted to commend you, you and David. But, yeah, well, you know what? When you all are mentioning the Cubs, and you all mention it, there are a lot of options. I mean, it's like four or five, but see, that's a 90-team win has those options. Conversely, a team that loses 100, it's one person. It is one, and I was trying to see what maybe somebody else. But if you all recall, we know about the home run, but it seemed like there was a little more energy to the team. And David, I know you said, hey, Ryan, it seemed like it's turning around, but that's when it occurred. And also, he plays. I wish they would just leave him at shortstop. That's probably the most demanding position. But lastly, guys, and we see them here. But, yeah, Brady Montgomery is coming, but we're still a little short on talent. But hey, it's been better.
It's getting better.
It's getting better. Yeah. So you guys, hey, have a great weekend. I'll talk to y'all next week.
All right, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Michael Bush against lefties, according to Sean Sears, our crack producer, 207, 642 OPS, but only 95 plate appearances. So is that a big enough sample size?
We'll find out next year.
Right. Sean also weighs in with his choice for Cubs MVP. He's playing along. Texter Sean, Kyle Tucker, the eye test. He made everything better.
Not the last 3 months.
Where was he when you needed him?
Hurt.
All right. There's a lot of other people out there. It's a tough crowd, Bruce.
It is. It's very tough in here.
We're still scarred from the loss. All right. 312-644-6767. When we come back, though, should he stay or should he go? We're going to ask that about a Cub fixture when we come back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.